Hello? I don't care if you can't hear me. I want you to hear me, but I don't care if you don't see me. Okay? Let Christ be here. Let me be here and Christ shine. Is that okay? Happy Sabbath, everybody. It's good to be back here. My wife and I are here. Larry's been asking and asking, and please come back to Prescott. We want to come back to Prescott. It's cooler up here than where we came from. Would you mind if I lose the jacket? You're looking very comfortable. And since I'm the one that's got to do the work here, I may as well be comfortable as well. Is that okay?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glad to be with you today. And, you know, we serve a powerful, wonderful God. Amen, somebody? I said, amen, somebody? Now, if you can make as much noise as you did in the week, you can make enough noise when you come into praise God. Is that right?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I hope I can sing like you when if the Lord tarries, because you got a serious voice.
Well, because of God.
That's all right. That's all right. I like him. Amen. Can't wait to stand next to you on the sea of glass when you have everything together. How many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Really?
Amen.
Seriously?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, as we open your word to a familiar story, may your Holy Spirit connect what is said to the beating of every heart, from the pulpit to the pew. Speak to us and speak to this lump of clay born in sin and shapen in iniquity. May your Spirit invigorate us, challenge us to understand that time is very, very short, shorter than we think. Help us to make the choice between whether we want to remain outwardly changed instead of inwardly transformed. Bless the word, I pray, and I'm giving you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. This morning, I want to speak on the topic. We can bring up the first. I want to speak on the topic. Change. Or transformation. Now I'm going to talk about the story of the rich young ruler. Change or transformation? Next one. What is change? Okay. Can we read it together? Together? Change at its best is the effort to restore or to improve the appearance of something rather than its substance. Go ahead, next one. All right, next one. Keep pressing. For example, swapping one's identity. Can we read that together? Swapping one's identity for another, moving one place to place, to another. Changing roles from one to another, and there's one more. Different from outside in. That is true. That is change at its very basic understanding and application. But what is transformation? They are not one and the same. What does it say on the screen? Together. What is transformation? Together. A fundamental change in your beliefs and why you perform certain actions. For example, do we all have convictions? Do we all have things that we hold dear to? Are we all inspired by something that happens to us or in us? That's why we're sitting here. Yes? And no matter what I say to you or what you do, if you believe something from the depths of your heart, then you're going to stick by it. Is that right? What is transformation? Together, a complete change into something improved in what? Or usefulness. Has God done something for you? Are you the same? Oh, a few people said that. You know, Jesus, you gotta change. Is that right? Can we say that in the affirmative? Has Jesus done something for you?
Yes.
That's why we're here. Amen?
Yes.
A complete change into something improved in appearance or usefulness. And I know every beating heart in here has both. Say amen.
Amen.
Look at the person and say amen. So do you. Is that right?
Yep.
Amen. You never know. This may be your last Sabbath. So whatever you can say in church, do it now. What is transformation together? Transformation doesn't require any external influence to maintain, and because of its fundamental nature, is more lasting and, what was the last word?
Permanent.
What was the second one? Lasting and permanent. Just because I changed my clothes doesn't mean I've changed my mind. Next one. It is driven by what? From the inside out. It's entrenched. How many of us got habits? Some of you are lying. Don't lie in church. Don't lie anywhere. Uh-huh. My wife's looking at her husband. Mm-hmm. Really? Okay. Or the kids. Yes. Next one. What is transformation? Transformation, as I've said, is a process that is driven by something from the inside out. And nature testifies to that. Next one. This morning, I want to lay that as a foundation for this morning's sermon. Because we have to ask ourselves, by the end of this presentation, where was this young man who came to Jesus? Some scholars would say that he's young. Some say he was a ruler. We don't know. But whatever your age is today, we want to look at this story in another way. Next one. We go to Scripture. If you have your Bibles, you can look at it. And I have a rule. If the Bible doesn't teach it, we don't preach it. Is that right?
Amen.
And if it's not in the Word, it should not be heard. Is that all right? Amen. I'm glad I'm in the house of God. Together. Mark chapter 10, 17 through 22. Together. As Jesus. Have we got it? We got it on the screen. As Jesus was starting out on his way to where? A man came running up to him, knelt down, and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to what? Eternal life." Verse 18. "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asks. "Only who?" "God is good." Next one. Verse 19. "But you to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must what? Not murder. You must not? You must not? You must not? You must not? And on top of that, honor your father and mother." He replies, "Teacher." The man replied, "I have disobeyed all these commandments." Huh?
"I have obeyed."
Oh, I've obeyed. Someone was watching. Next one. Verse 20. "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." And the Bible says, looking at the man, Jesus felt what? Genuine love for him. Here's the clincher. However, "There is still one thing you haven't done," he told him. Verse 21, let's read that together. "Go and sell your..." And what else? "And you will have treasure in heaven. Then follow me." Have mercy. Oh my goodness, verse 22 is so sad. The Bible says, at this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad. Why? Okay. Why? Because he had what? A few. Many. The brother was loaded, as we would say. He had it going on. Next one. I want to define ownership and possessions. They are not one and the same. What is the difference? The main difference between possession and ownership is that, number one, possession is requiring, this is according to a legal dictionary, a physical custody or control of an object or someone else. Agreed? Is that right? Do we possess certain things? Do we possess our homes? Do we possess everything around us? Now, some of us are going to be, oh, no, I thought I owned it. Well, stay with me. While ownership, can we read that together? What does it say? While ownership is the what? The right through which something goes to someone when someone has legal rights over a, it can be said that they do what? Can be said that they own it. Next slide. Let's see what the Bible has to say. Psalms 24, verse 1. Here's the biblical definition of ownership and possession. Psalms 24, verse 1. The earth is man's. It is America's. It's Britain's. Come on. Who did it say? The earth is the what? The Lord's and some of the things that are in it. Oh, you sure? Some folks think they own everything. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and some of the people belong to him. Are we sure? Job 1:21. You remember what happened to Job? Everything gets lost. 10 caskets in front of a church. He's just lost his children. And Mother Job and his wife is beyond consoling. One child is bad enough. 10? And none of them are left? Amen, ladies? And here is what Job says. Clothed I came from my mother's womb. Hello, don't be embarrassed. That's how we all came in. Naked I came from my mother's womb. And how? Naked I will return to what? The womb of the earth. God gives. God takes. Blessed. May the name, I'm quoting scripture here. God's name be what? Ever blessed. The New King James Version says, blessed be the name of the Lord. Could we say that? If we lost everything? It's a provocative question. Now for the message. Keep this story in mind for the next few minutes. What if that young man was you or me standing in front of Jesus? Would we have left the same way we came, or would something be different? And just because we can't see Jesus doesn't mean that we're not in his presence, even now. I heard a story some years ago about a group of scientists who decided to call a conference with God. It's a story. God turns up, sits down, and he says, okay, what can I do for you? The scientist said, we have so much technology. We have done amazing things. We have penetrated the boundaries of space. We're so good, we are able to clone. I don't think there's anything else we can't do. So guess what, God? It's time for you to go into retirement. Hello? He said, yeah, I will, but on one condition. You have to create something, but get your own dirt. Hello? Get your own dirt. There was silence in the room. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, you said you could. Let me step away. Have at it. I remember walking, I was pastoring a church on a reservation in Canada some years back. And I remember the Squamish Indian tribe, they had a lot of stores in that little town. And one day I happened to just walk and looking at one of these stores, and I came across this very provocative statement. I never forgot it. It went something like this: when the last tree is cut down, when the last river is polluted, and when the land is so totally poisonous that nothing will grow, then and only then will human beings understand that they cannot eat money. Is that profound? God's creation, that which we possess, yes. Here is this young man who is in front of Jesus. Now, there are some, when they read this story, there's some extreme misconceptions, as we've just defined, the difference between ownership and the difference between possessions. During the time of Christ, the Jews believed that wealth and prosperity were a sign of God's blessing. And so anyone who didn't have the means, whatever it was considered someone second class. Oh, God wasn't blessing you, and that's why you are not prospering. You know, there are some churches that preach this gospel mess. Prosperity doctrines. They use God as a vending machine. You bless me. If I pray to you and I ask for things, I'll give it to you. And they sit in certain places in these churches, in the, oh, you gave $20,000. This is your seat. It happens. I've seen it. So that's nothing new. There was discrimination going on even in the church. And so this was nothing new. And yes, does God give us the ability to get anything? Amen. Does he do it? Yes, he does. Are you thankful for what he's given you? Amen. Some of us couldn't handle Warren Buffett's kind of money. I know I would go crazy. Be honest. The other extreme is Christians who fall into the opposite camp that says, well, too much of this can't be right. This, you are too encumbered, too captured, too intoxicated. We are poor, and therefore we are closer to Jesus. Because he was poor. Jesus was so poor, you couldn't put the other O-R on the word. Hello? Po. I lived in the southern Alabama with my British accent. Forgive me if I mispronounce it. But I heard people say Po. I said, Po. I thought you said poor. That's exactly what I said. So I don't remember the last O or the last R. That was so. When you're that low, how many of you have had a flat or no bank account? More money, more bills than there is month. Is that correct? Am I in the church of the living God? Huh? Yeah. Amen. Oh, we are sanctified. Oh, we are this, we are that, because we don't have those things bothering us. Church is a funny place. Then there's extreme among some of these folk, be they high or low, that riches were evil, and not having that, they were better. Well, I want to let you know something. And herein lies the issue with this man. Possessions or ownership? Why did he leave? It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the material things. It wasn't about his education. It wasn't about anything else. There was a problem, because in that culture, as it is in today, very materialistic, then if you had it, you were doing good. If you didn't, oh my goodness, well, you were just not doing enough. Someone said that when our possessions become our obsession, then our obsessions will make us their possession. Let me say that again. Is that true? When our repeat after me. When our possessions become our obsession, then our obsessions will make us their possession. I know because I've lived it. I know because I'm struggling with it. Yes, this is what happens. The issue for the young man who went away was that there was a problem with the first commandment. And I heard it in Sabbath school this morning. By the way, Sabbath school was wonderful, the little bit that I heard of it. The first commandment says, thou shalt have, talk to me, Adventist. God's before me. Hello. You shall have no other gods before me. So there was issue number one. And then the second section of the Decalogue, the brother had an issue with the second part. Love to God, service to God, but then he had a community relation, a responsibility. All these things have I done. I've kept them to the letter of the law. The law is wonderful, but the law without a connection with God becomes nothing. We teach rules, but not relationship. I've been an Adventist now for 40-something years. I think I know what I'm talking about. Rules, but not relationship. It says he went away sorrowful. And let me suggest to you that it was not about the money or what he had, but where did he place his priority? In who? Reputation? Connections, the social order of certain things. He was influence. Influence is a possession. Because the last time I checked, we don't bring anything into this world, and we certainly don't take anything out except a character that is molded and shaped by Jesus Christ. And if that doesn't happen, excuse the vernacular, you ain't going nowhere. One more thing is needed. One more thing is required. Why is Pastor Palmer saying this? Because I do believe that Jesus is going to wrap everything up and it's not going to matter in the time of trouble how much or how little you have. And it's interesting that at the end of that particular encounter, Jesus goes on to say, that whoever gives up anything and everything for my name will reap benefits that you cannot count. You will be so crazy with what I bless you with, you won't even know how to thank me. I want us to be ready because I know the Lord is coming through. There are three things that pastors do. And I met a pastor somewhere this morning, that gentleman who I spoke to who started AWC. Where is he? He must have left. Yes. It was nice to meet him. There are three things that pastors do, and I just want you to, we have to do in our work. Hatch them, match them, dispatch them. Uh-oh, where's PK going with this? Oh, she's such a cute little thing. He looks just like his daddy. Probably they said it, brother. Don't worry. They did say it. They say it. Oh, man. This is definitely you. And we want to dedicate this baby. And we hope you church members will look after him. When you go home, ask him if he said that, okay? So we're there when they're hatched. We are there when they are matched. I now pronounce you husband and wife. Some of you are trying to figure out, yes, I remember exactly how that was. He didn't even get the lines right or what have you. Match. And the last thing we do, And hopefully, we would have connected with Christ before the last one. We dispatch. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Bringing nothing in, taking nothing out. They told me that Whitney Houston's casket was worth over $50,000. Save me the money. Put me in a box, but as long as I'm sleeping in Jesus and I'm going to see him when he comes again, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because what's coming up is not the same thing that went down. Hello? Rules. Yes, the Ten Commandments are important. I'm wrapping up in a few minutes because they tell me that the Holy Spirit leaves at 12:15. Is that right? Okay. Okay. You're extending grace to me. That's a good thing. Here's the thing. He's still standing having this conversation with Jesus. And Jesus is saying to him, I will not play second fiddle in your relationship. You want eternal life? That's wonderful. Keep the commandments? Yes. But that is not all. Because when everything else is stripped away, when there's no mother, no father, sister, brother, or church, the question is, as Jesus once said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in Prescott? Will he find faith in the church? Which are we wedded to? Christ himself or the other things that he gives us? And I'm not saying blessings. It's a fundamental question that we must ask ourselves. We have to examine, where are we? Because the day will come, saints of God, when this will not be here. Hello? Comfortable pews will not be there for you to sit on. And we're finding it right now as we speak. There are certain people in, if I may put my public affairs to religious liberty, that are pleading for the White House to take away these provisions, these tax exemptions, and to make sure that we bring in a day of family where everybody can be together and be nice. This is the lamb-like beast. And there are more beasts I've seen it in the last couple of years than I have seen lamb. Let me just be frank with you. The Bible says that he went away sorrowful, and the disciples were very angry with him, Jesus. Well, man, that brother is loaded. He could pay for another school. He could pay for everything. He's loaded. Yeah, that may be so, but he's not going to give up anything until his spirit comes. My spirit gets into him. He understands that I must be his priority. I must be the first thing, the last thing, and everything that he thinks about, so I can give him the heart to do those things, whether he's rich or he's poor or he's in between. Was he changed? Or was he transformed? And transformation can work another way. Was he determined to allow the Lord to work in him? We don't know. The story is left for us, I think, on purpose, to put ourselves where he was, where we are now. What is it that you love more than Jesus? Who takes your time? With what? Is it something hidden that no one knows about? What is it? Is it your diet? Diet's not going to save you. Jesus will. I know this is fundamental to what we're used to hearing, but I just got to make it plain. Because the Bible tells me, the only one thing we need more than life itself is Jesus himself. Period. I don't want to have any other gods. Small g. Education, finance, whatever it is you call it, whatever it is you spend your time with. I want your precious time, not your spare time. For when the Son of Man comes, and he shall, sooner than we like, sooner than we expect, sooner than we're happy with, Jesus will come and that divine Rolex will be on time, ready or not. That's my simple message. Let the transformation process begin. Just a few more things. What does it require? Number one, there are 8 things, and I've given this list to the AV people. What does it require? Oh, you got it up on this word. Number one, what does it say? Being honest with who? Who or what? What do I love and worship more than him? Is that true? What else? Number two, daily submission to what? Okay, there are a few people reading this. Hello, and we're reading the newspaper. Can we read this together? Because I want this to settle. Number three, sacrificing selfishness in favor of who? Of God and my duty to others. Number four, a daily resetting of... Wow. Next slide. Number five, it's come up again. I don't know why, but it's come up. Number six, trust, faith, and patience in what? Plan and process for my life. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, this is crazy. I know, but I got it under control. Number seven, doing what it takes to ensure and experience real and lasting transformation to take place. Basically, be patient with God. And number eight, what does it say? Staying power. What? Knowing that what God has promised, he can deliver. Amen, somebody. Should have given up on us a long time ago, but he's still hanging in there with us. I know she isn't perfect. Then from that matter, neither are you. But I still love you. I have not divorced you. I have not separated myself from you. I am so passionate about spending eternity with you that whether you make it or not, yes, rejoice on the sea of glass. Yes, stand and sing in that unnumbered multitude, but my God will still be grieving in his heart for those who didn't make it. Which mother can forget her sucking child? That's the God we serve. Change or transformation? Transformation can begin. Transformation can continue because he doesn't want anyone in here not to look in his face when he comes. Pray with me, dear Father in heaven, this morning. Every beating heart in this room, you've asked us to reconsider, reevaluate. Are we our priorities? What we own or what we possess? And we want to tell you this morning, even though we're not feeling it, even though we're not sure of it, even though we're not even sure of you, in spite of all that, you love us with a reckless love, and the cross proves it. And so this morning, in the quietness of this moment, this minute, this time, speak to us again. So that when we leave this house, whether we are allowed to come back or not, it will not be sorrowful, but rejoicing is my prayer, is our prayer, in the mighty loving name of our soon returning Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ the righteous. Even so, Lord Jesus, quickly come, let the church say, amen. Let us stand for the benediction. Can we stand? May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon thee and lift up his countenance upon us. May the Lord continue to stay and stick and love us and keep us until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.